gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that outside of all of your favorite music, Spotify now has all of your favorite podcasts? That's right, including How Did I Get Here? Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, now thousands of podcasts.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is that you did. I'm actually doing this intro on Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful day here in Austin, Texas. I'm going over some songs because I'm leaving town tomorrow to Dallas very early in the morning to do a song division gig, and then coming back tomorrow night late and getting up Tuesday morning and going to San Antonio to do a completely different Song Division gig. Song Division is this company that hires musicians regionally to do these corporate team-building exercises. If you're interested in what it is, it's very hard to explain. You can go to songdivision.com and it'll kind of explain to you what it is. But that's what I'm doing for the next couple of days. So I'm sitting here learning songs and I'm like, I should do that. Do my podcast intro, get it up in time so that I don't have a Pittsburgh situation like I did last week. I'm going to refer to that from now on as a Pittsburgh situation. Anyway, played with Skyrocket on Friday night at Hanover's. Good show. People came out. It was one of those shows where we kind of made each other laugh throughout the whole show. So there was a lot of laughter, a lot of wackiness. Unfortunately, somebody drank way too much mixed with pharmaceutical pills, and they had to call an ambulance. And that was sad. She was outside on the thing waiting for the 911 people to show up. The ambulance showed up, and they were there for a couple of songs length. And I have to tell you, it made the light show kind of interesting because their windows, it was flashing through. Anyway, I hope that lady's better, and I hope she learned not to mix her things. I have a great show for you guys today. Anna Larson from The Wheelwrights is back on the show. She emailed me a few weeks ago and was like, hey, man, I'm putting out a solo album. It's called Shifting Sand. It drops February 8th. Can I come back on the show? And she's dropped a couple of singles from it so far, Acting Alone. There's a single and a video for that. And her latest single, Where Were You, is available now. You can go to annalarsonmusic.com and see the video, connect with the songs. But the songs are available wherever you stream and download Yo Jams. I don't know why I said that like that. Forget I said, strike that from the record. Okay, let's strike that. I didn't say Yo Jams. I said your jams. Okay, that's the way I said that. Anyway, she's having a release show for her album Shifting Sand on Saturday, February 9th at the Townsend here in Austin. As I said, go to annalarsonmusic.com, get involved there. She's also doing a release show at Opening Bell in Dallas, one of my favorite places, on February 15th. So go to annalarsonmusic.com, get involved there, find out where she's playing, see her videos, hear her music, and read all about her and see her photos. Anna Larson, great musician from The Wheelwrights. They were on a few months ago. You can go back there and check that out. I can't remember what number it is. Should have looked that up, but I didn't. Sorry about that. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Anna Larson, fabulously talented musician, pianist, mother, and she's come out as a songwriter later on in life. We talk all about it. Great conversation with Anna Larson. Enjoy it. Let's get down.
She was only 6 years old the day you went away. Down by the trees next to the pipeline where it bends by the river. What did they do?
I remember we were here before and I spotted your piano and I was looking at that and how it looks. It looks like it's a Korean piano, right? It's like the Daewoo, but it says something else on the on the other, like Sojin or whatever, and underneath your music rack.
Oh yeah, Sojin.
Mm-hmm. So that is, maybe that's his name.
That's my stage name.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if you knew that about me.
No, I did not.
Sojin. Yeah.
No, I did not.
I use Johnny Gowdy is my podcast name.
Oh, okay.
Sojin is my stage name.
Oh.
So, what kind of piano do you have at home?
I have a Boston piano. I have a baby grand piano.
Oh, nice.
At home. Yeah. I used to have I had a Kawai upright that looked about this, you know, size, and it wasn't, you know, there's all, you have like the spinets and the spinets. All those sorts of things. So I had a Kawai upright for a long time that I really, really loved. But I decided to make the jump and, you know, I paid tiny bits of money for a long time.
Keep on getting better.
Yeah. To,
upgrade.
So now my piano, for a long time, my piano, like I guess the bank owned most of my piano, but now I actually own my piano. So it's a good thing. It's
congratulations.
Good thing. Yeah. So I love my piano. I don't know. I mean, I guess all instruments, you know,
what places in town outside of like Lambert's have a piano?
Have an acoustic piano.
Yeah, an acoustic piano. Remember when they had that one at Momo's? Were you around during that era?
I wasn't. I wasn't at Momo's playing their piano anyways during that era.
I think it was only like 2 months or something.
Well, okay, so the Townsend has a teeny tiny red
spinet. Oh, yeah, I played
spinet.
That piano. That's,
I haven't played it. I've talked with Carlos a lot about, like, you know, when he...
It's Alice's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talked about, you know, folks lugging it back and forth and stuff like that. But I haven't played... I'm trying to think...
I played that at a show there.
If I've...
Well...
I don't think... I can't think of any... Maybe my brain is just not...
Does that bum you out was the next question. Was, you know, because I...
Well,
I'm not a fan of playing the non-piano pianos.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes when you show up and there's a random acoustic piano... You don't really know if it's
right, what kind of
like what kind
in.
Of shape it's yeah. in and stuff like that. The Skylark Lounge has a acoustic piano sort of like living on the side of the stage. And but you know what I was going to say is my piano at home feels like a member of the family, or like it feels
right,
like an
yeah.
extension of my body,
my
or
girlfriend
something
for the
you
last
know?
Few months.
I kind of feel that way a little bit about my keyboard, my Nord that I schlep all over the
yeah.
place with me too,
yeah.
which is weird because, you know, you always think, oh, it's a keyboard. Like, we don't even call it a piano. We don't even call it an instrument, really. I mean, it is.
No, I don't really have as much respect. Look at how I just stick them in the corner. There's like just guys over there.
Like, that's true.
I don't care
well,
about
okay.
you.
I love my Nord keyboard more than you love your keyboards that are over there yeah. In the corner. No, but I don't know. I kind of feel I don't feel as close to that to my Nord as I do to my piano.
Are they fully weighted keys?
They are
semi.
It's no. the hammer. What's it called? Hammer action.
I don't,
piano, it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
HP,
yeah.
which I always think Hewlett Packard when I say
Hewlett Packard action. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Hewlett Packard action. No, it's so I guess it's in between. It's not super fully weighted. That's just a new term that I made.
Okay, it's a hammer action.
Hammer action.
HP.
It says HP.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Maybe that's Japanese.
Maybe
for action, it starts with P. I don't know, man.
That's what it says on my keyboard. So.
Well, congratulations, by the way, on Shifting Sand.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that drops in on February 8th.
February 8th.
Yeah.
And I have a single that's out today.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Today.
That's,
I'm excited.
Where were you?
Where were you?
Sorry. Great
yeah.
song, too, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. This is the first like solo album.
You've ever made?
That I've ever
it's
made.
It's your debut solo
it's
album.
The debut. Yeah. I feel I'm not sure that I'm the right demographic for putting out a debut solo album, but I don't know. It can, you know, there's, maybe it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters.
No, I don't think it matters
no.
anymore.
No.
I don't think there's any rules anymore,
no.
right? That's what I was going to ask
it's
you
because
I was listening to it and I was like, what kind of music is this?
Yeah, man. Do,
what
you,
kind of
do you have
is
an
this?
Answer? I would love.
I don't know what kind of music mine is.
Yeah. I struggle with that. No, I mean, really. I hate. I mean, I, you know, come up with like little two-word phrases that, you know, if you're hard-pressed.
What do you got going on?
What's my latest thing that usually comes out of my mouth? After I go, for a while. Soul Americana. That's one word that I use, or phrase.
So you were going to use Americana. See, I was like...
I don't know. That's like the giant umbrella, so I don't know what else.
Yeah, Americana is almost like just music now.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's synthesizer Americana guys. There's solo acoustic Americanas.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just a ukulele and like a fiddle ukulele.
Yeah.
You know,
it could be anything you want it to be. It could be a kazoo. Kazoo Americana. Maybe not. Maybe that's too much. Maybe that's the line.
We need to start. We need to get into a better definition of music.
I think that's true. Awesome. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's a thing.
You know what happened to me? What? In the time of MySpace, mm-hmm. there was an option when you were mm-hmm. choosing your music, mm-hmm. when you were putting it up online, mm-hmm. of French pop.
Okay.
So since 2004, uh-huh. that's my, I don't even know.
French pop.
I don't even know what French pop is, but
that just
sounds cool.
I think I'm
going to
steal
that.
Can I steal that now? No.
My music doesn't sound anything alike, no. So it's going to ruin my thing.
Yeah, no. That's okay. I can't do that. No, I don't know. That's the term that I use. I don't know what else. I don't know. If you've got an answer,
okay,
you can tell me. Think
well,
about it.
Well, it's good.
Well, thank you.
I tell me how you recorded this because you got strings, mm-hmm, horns.
Mm-hmm.
What else is it? I mean, you got drums, bass. Yeah, the bass playing is really good. Who's that guy?
It's JJ Placencio is the bass player and the cellist. Also, he's doing both of those things on this record. Yeah, he's a really creative, talented guy.
I like his.
Yeah,
I like his playing. He's got a lot of class.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a class act. So
yeah,
I'm
you are. I wouldn't think.
Either that or I got to surround myself with people who are going to up the class factor. Maybe that's what I'm doing. I don't know. And then I've got acoustic piano on the record.
It's great whirly on there too.
And then I'm actually playing guitar on one song.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I am. I'm like a, people ask me, they're like, why are you so self-deprecating about your guitar playing? There's so many people that play guitar well that I know that I kind of feel like, oh, okay, I've got my, you know, strumminess.
That's a weird town to be a guitar player in.
Because
I bet even Jimmy Vaughn sometimes.
Don't really want to throw myself on the pile of guitar players, you know. Yeah. But there's one. There's a song on the album that I play acoustic guitar on, and then there's also a song my friend and bandmate Derek Kinsall is got some really tasty slide guitar on one of the tracks also.
Bandmate, solo band, or wheelwright?
Another band called Those Poor Serfs.
Okay.
That we haven't played.
I think you talked about them last.
Yeah. Time. I think we have some shows coming up in a couple months, but he's the main songwriter and guitar player in that band, and I play keys and sing some harmonies.
What's that band like?
It's like a blues rock kind of thing.
Okay.
He's from Alabama, so he can do the slide.
Where does
guitar.
All that stuff come from? Because there's like, mm-hmm. Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Dallas. Okay,
I'm
so Dallas. You're like a Texas person.
I'm a native Texan. Always lived. I've never lived outside of Texas. I've been in Austin for a really long time, but I went down a classical piano path for a long time. I came here.
That'll
and,
get you, man.
You know, and
once you get into that zone,
it's hard to.
Yeah. You're not out at the clubs bashing it out.
I'm not really sure. I think a lot about that. Like, why did I take that particular turn, or how did I, and why did I stay in that vein for such a long time? Because I came down here and I went to music school, and so I was, you know, way into, you know, classical piano and studying it and practicing a gazillion hours a day, and all that kind of stuff serves me well. I mean, it still
does.
Yeah, you're
very good.
Well, I mean, it makes you, I guess, not afraid of practice, and you sort of expect things to be difficult, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. I don't know. Maybe I was pre-programmed that way. But so I spent a lot of time, most of my 20s, you know, doing that, and I teach piano and all that kind of good stuff.
That sets you up to be able to teach, and that's a great, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I think teaching is a really creative.
Sure,
outlet. It's a creative career. It's a creative profession, you know?
Yeah, and if you're good at it, you know, you're making a difference in somebody's,
you know,
in somebody's life. You're watching someone learn.
But all the other type of, you know, all these other styles that I can't figure out a good name for, as we just we're talking about. I don't know. I grew up in church, and I grew up with a lot of like classic country at home. And
well, classic country like what?
Because like Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Patsy Cline, Kitty Wells.
I've had people come in here and go like, "Man, real old country," like, you know, like Garth Brooks and like. You never know when people
like
classic
true.
Country.
That's
it's
true.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Willie Nelson. You know, all
the guys.
This is like my dad's record collection. But also the other side of my dad's record collection is Southern gospel. So like all, I don't even know, like the, but a lot of like family gospel bands or whatever that would tour around in churches.
Sure.
You know, back in the 60s or 70s, like those kind of era of gospel music at home, and then I started listening to the Beatles and Bob Dylan and things like that when I was pretty young, like, you know, young teenage-ish. And then I also
Were you playing then? When did you start playing?
Well, I mean, I've been playing piano like my entire life, like since I was maybe like 4 or 5 years old.
Did you want to, or was it thrust upon you?
No, I wanted to. Okay. Yeah, I really think but my dad's a guitar player, and so sometimes I wonder a lot, like, why he didn't like push me in the, you know, to play guitar, because that would have made sense. You know, if he's got a guitar and I've got a guitar, we could have played a lot more together at home, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But no, I remember the first thing I remember about playing piano is that my parents had given me, you know, like one of those really little teeny tiny toy pianos that, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of like tink, tink.
The J-Mar?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's, and I remember my dad showing me the notes on that piano and I was trying to play songs on that. And then I think they were like, maybe we should get a full-size piano. Maybe we should get an actual instrument. That was a really big deal for my family, I remember like going over to some, like they found a used piano ad in the like the Dallas Times Herald or something like that, and driving over to some guy's apartment, and they loaded the piano in the truck and, you know, drove it back to the house. I remember like a really distinct thing, remembering them bringing the piano in the house and
figuring out where to put it. Yeah.
And I had a Baldwin upright, like wooden finish piano that, you know, that's what I played.
That's awesome.
Until I was, you know, until I left when I was like 18 or so. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Did you get out and like play places, or were you in the classical vibe?
I was. And I had a really.
What was happening for you socially though, like in your life?
I had a lot of friends who were in theater. I had a lot of friends who were in theater and things like that. And to me, it was like these two, there was me playing piano. And then, you know, when I was probably like, I don't know, high school or college or something like that, I wrote a lot of poetry. And actually, I thought that I wanted to be a writer, which is, if you was going to choose the two least, I don't know, two hardest careers to in life. Let's see, shall I be a musician or a writer? You know, but I wrote a lot of
poetry.
The
poet one just seems like a disaster.
Oh,
like,
right.
There's just not.
So I was like, ooh, maybe I can like be a pianist and like, you know, be gainfully employed teaching or something like that. I think that was, you know, so they were two separate paths. They were two separate things in my mind, and the two didn't meet up anywhere.
Right.
And it was always like, ugh, I always felt kind of. I always felt not happy with that, and I couldn't quite figure out how to put the two. I don't know.
Musical theater.
I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't ready to say yes. Yes to enough things. I think that's a big part of it. I think that I was very much like, I'm going to be, you know, at home writing something, or at home messing around on the piano, but not calling it writing music and things like that. I think that's so.
It's funny because the path of a classical pianist is like, I mean, are there dudes that are people, men or women? Sorry, I'm calling everyone dudes. It's a blanket term for me sometimes.
Sorry.
Are there people out there that like are like, there are. People go see a classical pianist when he comes to town. Maybe he'll play like the, or they'll play at
yeah.
the, at
yeah.
the Bass?
The Long Center or,
the Long Center
yeah,
or Bass or
yeah,
something.
Something
or
like
some,
that. Yeah.
Some.
Bates, or even like the recital hall Bates that's inside the music building.
Right.
On UT campus. No, I mean.
I mean, yeah, the thing is that there's not like a lot.
The rock star of the piano world or
well,
something
there's
like
no,
that.
But there's, I mean, I guess you could play piano at like a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In a,
I mean,
in a fancy
I did a lot. Well, no, I played hotels and, you know, parties and, you know, like background music at parties and things like that, you know. And still, like, one of the things I did last week that, like, playing the piano at the airport, you know, they've the tie-dye piano's rolled down there at the end of the thing. I mean, I sat down and, you know, just play piano for a couple
Oh, you didn't
hours.
Go and do an airport gig?
I've done those, okay. too, but they've
but
also...
You just went and sat and played the piano.
They've got the piano down there. He's got, yeah. like, some blocks of time just for he doesn't have a PA or
you
a mic.
Just play.
Yeah, he's just got the acoustic piano just rolled down
That's
there at
cool.
the end of whatever gates 30 something or other down there.
You know, I played in Pittsburgh on Monday and I had like stops in different
mm-hmm.
cities.
Mm-hmm.
Every city has music.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know because
Nashville obviously had it
yeah,
in the airport.
Because I've had folks when I'm playing out at the airport come up and say, oh, this is great. I wish every airport had this or every airport
it's
should have,
to have
this.
It.
That's cool. I think it lowers everybody's stress a lot. Or either, sometimes I can't tell if I'm annoying everyone who's just trying to make their flight and they're just trying to like have a cup of coffee and it's a work thing and they're in the airport. Or if it's, you know, if it's like a little soothing that, you know, they're in the airport and there's music, live music being played. I like to think it's the latter.
Have you ever played to a big crowd there? I've always just played to like four or five people.
No, I mean, it's usually like, you know, there's people eating their sandwiches at their
yeah,
tables
I was about to
and,
say a guy
and things
a
like that, you
and,
know.
Like,
yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I've also had really nice conversations with people playing out there. But no, I mean, I was playing there last week and it was all piano and I was reminded of just, you know, that sort of background piano kind of thing that you do. That's, you know, which is mainly if you're that's the kind of stuff that I did for a while and it just didn't, I don't know, things didn't really change for me until I think I was just ready to like, you know, put yourself out there
yeah.
Mm-hmm, and start singing. And I've always sung, but I never really thought of myself as a singer. Kind of like I don't think of myself as a guitar player.
Yeah.
So I don't. When I was probably about 35 or something like that, I started writing. I wrote some music for theater, and I was like, oh, this is what I should be doing a whole lot more of.
Yeah.
And I just sort of, you know, in my mind, set this intention of like, okay, well, I'm gonna. Whatever opportunity comes my way after this or whatever, I thought to myself, you know, I really want to join a band and I'm going to say yes to whatever opportunities come my way after this. And I'm going to kind of seek out those things and try to figure this out because I don't want to go back to not writing music.
Right.
So... I don't know. Things just...
It's weird, like just being a civilian.
Yeah.
Walking through life,
going
to the mall.
Well, I mean, I've taught... I was, you know, people would ask me, well, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a piano teacher. Because I've always taught piano, and that's been my full-time thing for a million years. But I wouldn't say, like, oh, well, I'm a musician.
Right.
Which is kind of weird to be a piano teacher yet not be a musician. It's a matter of how you think about yourself.
Yeah.
I guess, you know.
Normally I say musician. Sometimes I do say, I don't know, man.
Well, there's so many things. Sometimes I feel like now I'm like, well, which job should I tell this person that I do? How do I want to spin this? Like, it depends on the audience. It depends on the moment. Like, what do I feel like most right now?
Yeah.
You know, I got a lot of labels. I got a lot of hats.
Well, you know what?
That's good.
Musician's a good one. Even like amongst a bunch of investment bankers, you're like, oh, I'm a musician. Like, no way, man. What do you do? You know what I mean? Like, that's what you always get.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you say I'm a piano teacher, people go, oh, man, I took piano lessons.
Yeah.
Oh. And they either say, it's either followed by, I hated it. Or,
I wish I never stopped.
And I'm like, do you really? I don't know. Maybe you do.
Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people. They're like, man, I was doing that in high school. And man, you know, my dad talked me out of it. And look at me now.
Yeah.
Wearing shorts and Tevas.
I could have been somebody.
At a place.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot about why I didn't get on the train sooner, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Everybody's got a different trajectory.
Everyone does, yeah. And it also, like, you know.
And I've been surprised by this, to be honest.
You enjoy it, obviously, or you wouldn't have taken the risk of branching out on your own. It's one more step out there, you know? It's one more step out of that classical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lane.
Shell or whatever, and all that's a foundation, all that's part of who I am, but it's, I feel like everything is so much more in balance now.
Yeah.
You know?
So where did you record this record?
Britton Biesenhertz out at Ramble Creek Recording.
Okay.
Someone that I've known for a long time. I know him and his wife, and I've taught their kids, and, you know, we're just, and he's fantastic. He's so talented. And when you go out there to, I mean, and he's a musician too. He plays a lot of different things. He plays bass in a band, Monahans. And he plays with, you know, he does all
I know that name.
Kinds of different things. And I really like when I've recorded out there, because the Wheelwrights recorded some about, I think, 3 or 4 songs from our record that we had.
Okay.
We also with him. But it just feels like I feel like he's sort of steering things, and you don't realize that, you know, everything is kind of humming along smoothly, and everything is just real calm and smooth sailing. And you know, you don't realize how it's, you know,
yeah,
I think he's guiding everything in a really subtle and I don't know.
How'd you record? Did you record live? Did you guys get together and jam? Or what was the...
No, I think it was a lot of the vocals and the Rhodes, and the drums we tracked together.
Okay.
All the bass and the cello parts were tracked separately.
Oh, because it's the same guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, he came in and he tracked his bass parts separate from...
Oh, from the drums.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So I think that...
What's that
guy's
name again, the bass player?
J.J. Placencio.
J.J. Placencio. Mm-hmm. What else does he do?
He was in Sixpence None the Richer.
He was. That's a real... That was a... Remember that band?
Uh-huh. And,
Kiss Me? Was that their song?
Yes, that was it. Yeah. And he plays a lot of jazz. He's also a music director at a really pretty big church here in Austin.
Yeah.
I think he has also a recording. He does some, you know, recording work. He's got a home studio and stuff like that.
Was he your homeboy, or did you hire him to come in?
I met him
he's
been playing with the Wheelwrights a little bit. Yeah. So I conscripted him from that. I was like, hey, you play cello, you play bass.
Yeah.
These are things that I like.
So is he playing?
I feel like I kind of made the record sort of like, I did everything backwards or definitely backwards from how the Wheelwrights made our record, where we had, you know, played together, you know, every...
Right.
All the time.
Yeah, it's different being a solo person.
Right? And then with this, I was sort of like, I think I want to make a record. I have all these songs. I had a couple of good friends who were like, you know, you should do something with these songs. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you really do. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I will. And so I started off, I was like, well, I'll just go and record. I'll just take these 3 songs that I think are probably my best songs that don't have a home right now. And we'll just see what happens. And so I sort of had the songs and then, you know, had them come in and write parts to them. And then after a few after recording that, I was like, well, maybe I'll do a few more songs. And I was like, well, maybe we should just make a whole record. Well, then why don't we just start playing out a whole bunch? Well, okay, well, let's, you know.
Have you played out as the band already and stuff?
We have. Yeah. We have. And JJ has played some with us. And then lately, so my drummer, Mikey Best, who's on the record, he and I have played quite a bit together. And we have a guitar player, Daniel David, who started playing with us the last
time. These guys all have great names. You know what I mean?
I know.
They all sound like characters from some book.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm lucky. I don't know. I'm not choosing players based on their names.
No, but you're doing a great job.
In case you were wondering. although maybe that's criteria to think about. We recorded all these, and Jenny Wieland is playing horn parts on there, and she's just okay. A good friend of mine. I met her actually when I first started, when I wrote some music for theater, which is kind of what kicked off this whole.
What was this music like? Was it for a specific play? Was it?
It was. I've been in a theater company for quite a while, and I was doing a lot of like writing scripts and. That. Yeah. So I was doing, I guess I'd been doing more like playwriting stuff for, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4, maybe as much as like 5 years. I'd done a little bit of like lighting design and stuff like that. Basically, all of my theater friends have, conscripted me.
Right.
Then I just, was doing all that. But we did a play about it was set in a carnival. It was like a bunch of, like a sideshow of stuff. Yeah. And so I was like, man, we need a live score for this play. That's what it needs because it's such a cool play. And so I just decided, I was like, well, okay, I'm gonna write a score for this play. It was like incidental music. Scene change music. And then I sort of had this idea of each of the characters or the main characters had their own themes.
Right.
Like melodic kind of.
Yeah, so you kind of know. Yeah. Yeah.
And Jenny played horn, and I had another friend of mine who played some trumpet, and I was playing piano and melodica and stuff like that. And that's where I met Jenny, and she and I have just, we just click.
That's good.
So she played on this record.
So too. You did when you like go play opening bell in Dallas, stick mm-hmm. the whole gang.
No, that's been I usually will go and do that solo. But the one that's coming in February, I'm going to take the whole band. I've played there before.
Yeah.
And just as a solo, me. But I'm bringing the band. I'm not gonna bring the cast of thousands. We're not gonna have like strings and horns and all that stuff. But it'll be a trio. It'll be keys and drums and guitar.
Okay.
Yeah,
I bet you can get some people out there.
Yeah,
you know Pascal listens to the show.
Oh, she does.
She says she does.
Okay, well, if she's listening right now,
I hope she would be.
I'm coming for you.
Hey, Pascal.
Yeah.
I need to get up there and play soon.
Yeah, I like it.
I like that
it's,
place.
Well, I mean, like I grew. It's in. Well, I guess it's in more like downtown Dallas. I grew up in South Dallas, and so to me, I've always thought of. Dallas was the place that I gotta get. Yeah, I need to leave.
Gotta
Dallas.
Get out of Dallas.
Gotta
man.
Get out.
Yeah.
And so. Now when I go back and I think that's a cool place. I know it's way cooler.
Yeah.
Dallas is way cooler than it used
to be. I always
thought
it was cool. I never had a problem with Dallas. I always thought it was really cool.
I think it's just because I grew up there.
Right, right.
You know? But in Oak Cliff, there's a lot of cool places in this Bishop Arts District.
Yeah.
And which is like 20 minutes from my parents' house. And, it's...
There was a guy a few years ago
a lot cooler.
At something that I was at. And he had a shirt that said, don't Dallas my Austin. And then I was like.
I can see that.
Yeah, but what about the other way around?
Yeah, I know.
Those guys are like, yeah, well, don't.
Don't Austin my Dallas.
Don't Austin my Dallas.
Yeah.
Man. And that guy got so offended. He's like, man, they need it. I'm like, when was the last time? It ended up like he hadn't been to Dallas in like 15 years.
I've made peace. I think it's just because that's where I grew up, and I think
right. You
have that thing with the
that
place
thing.
That you got to struggle
gotta
against it, and you
got
to leave.
Yeah.
And I enjoy going back to Dallas. I think it's cool to kind of go back to your hometown and kind of feel like not a tourist, but kind of go back to your hometown and see what's going on.
It's like how I feel about like Los Angeles. Like I love being there because I know I'm going to leave pretty soon. So I just, I'm like, yeah, all right, let's do it. But like, if there's like an indefinite amount of time to spend there, I get really sad. It's too long, you know? It's a place I'm just not into.
Yeah.
I'm not from there, but I'm not into it.
You're not, So you like, not you to, like live. To visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of places that it's cool to visit, but you wouldn't want to stay there.
Yeah.
You know? Although, yeah. I guess Dallas is in that category, but it's a little bit different because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so you're going to be juggling a lot of stuff then, right? Because the wheelwrights are playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a.
I like to juggle. No, actually, I would be terrible at actually juggling things, but I'm pretty good at juggling lots of
juggling the times.
Yeah.
The,
You
don't have a kid, do you?
I do.
You do.
I have three kids.
You have three kids.
I do.
Where are they?
Right this very moment.
Yeah.
Well, they're in the car. You know? No, I'm joking.
They're outside.
Yeah, I just left them. You know, I said, "Here's a 20." No,
here's a 20.
I don't know. My kids are at school right now, so they are accounted for.
How
and
old
safe.
Are they?
I have a seventh grade. I have a son who's in seventh grade.
Okay.
I have a daughter who's in fifth grade, and another daughter who's in third grade.
Okay. Did you see? Have you seen that movie Eighth Grade?
Mm-mm.
I just watched it on my flight the other day.
No.
Incredible movie.
Should I?
Incredible.
Okay.
You know what? I think you should.
Okay.
Because I think that it's a very realistic view of what it must be like to be that age at this
now.
Moment in time.
Mm-hmm. I try to have, I don't know if sympathy is the right word. Empathy is really the word. Yeah, that I'm going for. I'm their mom, so I've got a job to do. I've got to keep them. I've got to be. I have a friend of mine who she describes herself. She's like, I'm the bumpers. You know, I'm not in charge of them. I'm just the bumpers.
Yeah.
My job is to keep them from flying off of the lane. So I got to do that. You know what I mean?
It's true.
It's true.
You have a lot. How do they handle the music stuff? Do they like it? Are they proud of you?
They do.
It's weird?
I think they like it on one hand, but on the other hand, it's just, you know, they just have a mom who does this, and that's just, in some ways they kind of don't care.
Yeah.
You know, cause we'll play places. I'll play places sometimes that they can come. Like, I played at, Vista Brewing, which is a cool place out in Dripping Springs. And, they came out there. So, you know, it's like outside and kids are running around or whatever.
Yeah.
And, they like to come out, but they like to come out because they get to run around and probably, I don't know.
Not like they sit there in a table just like,
no,
mom.
No. But it's just part of who I am to them, I guess. My son, who is 12 and a half, we were talking about this kind of recently, and I was like, well, can you remember a time when I wasn't, can you remember when I wasn't playing in bands or when I was just, you know, teaching piano at home? And he was like, yeah, kind of. But my youngest daughter, she was about two or three when I first started kind of playing out and ramping up and writing songs and doing all that kind of stuff. So she really she doesn't really have any memory of me. To me, there's such a huge swath of my life where I hadn't really found what I wanted to, where I wanted to go with music. But they don't think of me like that at all.
Right.
You know? And so that's, I think that's a good perspective to have, just to kind of remind myself that, you know, people are going to think about you, and your kids think of you one way, and new friends and old friends, and, you know.
Yeah.
People are always going to have a viewpoint on you. But no, my kids are great. They know how to load my gear in the car correctly. My youngest kid is still eager to do that.
Yeah.
What
a weird kid.
My son is not quite as eager to do that.
He's smart.
But he's bigger and stronger, so he, you know, I trust him not to break.
Is he a sports guy?
Yeah, he's sporty.
Are you sporty?
No.
Are you into sports or
no.
like, hey guys,
no,
the Eagles are playing.
I'm not
Cowboys.
No, I'm not really sporty.
Okay.
But he is I'll watch football and stuff now because he likes football. Mm-hmm. So I really don't know what's going on with it, though.
I don't either.
But he plays drums, too. So
he's, oh, he does?
Yeah. He's pretty good. I'm proud of him.
What about, like, music-wise? Are they listening to the Ariana Grandes and...
Well, okay, so I can give you their musical taste from oldest to youngest. My son likes soul and anything funky and, you know, that's everything cool. in that direction. My middle child likes classical music and strings in particular.
Wow.
Yeah. And my youngest is currently Kacey Musgraves.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that's pretty.
Kacey Musgraves and Taylor Swift.
Okay.
That's where she's at right now. But they all agree on the Beatles.
Most people
and
do,
if they
don't
didn't
they?
Like the Beatles, I don't think they'd have the heart to tell me.
It would be weird, wouldn't it? I feel
we'd
like
we'd have to have a talk. We'd have to be like, okay,
yeah.
We'd have to be like a after school special moment where you know kids.
Yeah, everything in my life has been so informed by their music that my music making is I really don't need to listen to them at all.
Yeah,
I just don't. But I meet people sometimes and I'm like, oh, man, I hate the Beatles. Mm. And you're like, wow, how does that, that must be really liberating. Because to me, they're always over me going like, well, you'll never be me. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, it's like the on your shoulder, yeah. like, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have made that choice. But if you want to choose that chord, go right ahead. I mean.
It's just Ringo standing there.
Oh man!
Submarine.
Oh, there he is.
I go to
he's literally. If you turned him, I like how he's faced away from the piano. I don't know if you do. You sit at that piano and write a lot of times.
Yep. The notebooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he's faced away from the keys, so he's not directly looking at you.
Well, he's not really the one that I would most intimidated by when I'm writing a song, as far as the Beatles are
exactly.
concerned.
Exactly. I mean. No, I'm with you.
I think that's probably the meanest thing I've ever said about the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't. Are they listening?
You know, hopefully George and John listen to this show.
That's true. There's no way to measure their participation.
Now that's the meanest thing I've ever said about the Beatles.
We love the Beatles. I'm topping myself,
doubling down.
No. Okay because you love them and I love them. We both.
I do love them. Yeah. So you like playing at the Townsend? Are you going to play the piano at the Townsend? Is that why you're doing the release there?
I'm not going to play. I don't think I'm going to play their piano.
Okay.
If they offer it to me, I guess I'll play their piano. I was going to bring my own.
Go ask Alice. When she's 10 feet tall. Sorry.
You said it, not me. I like playing at the Townsend. I like the sound. I like Carlos.
Yeah, I like him too. He's good too.
Yeah.
You used to play at Strange Brew. I was looking through your Facebook photos. Mm-hmm. You used to play there. Mm-hmm. That's a Carless location. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of really good things came from playing at Strange Brew. I feel like
for you?
Yeah, I feel like probably this record, if you wanted to go back to why I made this record, it would be because I showed up at an open mic that Kacey Crowley hosted at Strange Brew on Sunday nights, and I showed up and they had a keyboard, and I was like, oh, well, I can come to this open mic and play because they've got a keyboard and I can, you know,
and jam that keyboard.
Yeah. And I met her, and then I met Tom Meaney that same night.
Oh, you friends with Tom?
Yeah. And he started a songwriting group.
Yeah.
And I jumped into that boat.
I think so.
And that's, I think most of these songs on this record were from writing in that group. And I've met like a whole bunch of people from that group.
Yeah.
So it all comes back to me showing up at an open mic at Strange Brew.
I have a couple of albums. Even my last EP, a couple of songs are from the songwriting games.
Mm-hmm. I like that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's just...
Me too.
Maybe I've got something in my personality that likes... deadlines and stuff.
Yeah, it feels when there's accountability, you'll finish stuff. Yeah. And that's really the exercise of that thing, is just to finish your thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think accountability is good.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really got into, you know, sticking all the classical piano stuff you know, that's being in music school and stuff like that. That's, you know you've got a, I don't know, piano lessons and all the, you know, all the marks you're trying to hit. And I don't know, there's a lot of the structure, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Of that. So maybe I'm into, maybe that sort of suits me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, that songwriting group, Soul Writers University, it's not an accredited university, but that's
the Ray Prim title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your video for Acting Alone, which is on the record, but it was an early single that came out last year.
Yeah.
That video benefited Moms Demand Action.
Yeah. So, when I put that song out, I took, and I've got to do the math, I guess. But I that song, all the downloads and stuff from, I have it on Bandcamp. I donated that to Moms Demand Action, and the show that we had, I had a release show for that single, and it was a benefit. The money that we raised at that show, I gave to the local chapter of, or I guess it's if Austin or the Texas, I think it's the Austin chapter of Moms Demand Action, because. I don't, you know, that's a, you know, gun violence or changing the gun laws is a really important. I think something needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think, what do you think it's going to take? Because I don't know what it's going to, it can't take an act of violence against children even to change them. So what do you think is going to change? Do you think that what happens is...
I think it's going to be, well, honestly, I don't know. It might be where I kind of feel like we're already living in a point where almost everyone knows someone who's been directly influenced or affected.
Yep.
I would hate to think where it's, where everyone, it's kind of terrifying to have, well, to be a person walking around in the world and knowing, you always know. I mean, there's like the level of bad things happen. And then there's, I think we're at another level now of almost like a, I don't want to say a war zone because I know that's, you know, a different situation. People who are actually living in situations like that is not as... but there's a level of,
it's not an active war zone.
No,
but it can
be. But
it's,
there's a thing that's in the back of your mind, and I think it's in the back of everyone's minds. And I don't want to live like that, and I don't want my kids to live like that. I don't want any of my friends to have to live like that. And I really don't understand how politicians or regular people can feel like, you know, that it's okay for anyone, anytime, anywhere to have a gun. I feel like
because they get donations from the people.
Well, yeah.
That's why. That's what really sucks.
Yeah.
That's why.
It comes back to money. And I feel hopeful after the student organization that happened last year, last February. And that's what kind of prompted me to release that single
when I did.
Right. Yeah. My son's school, and it was a middle school, they had a day of action on that April 20th. You know, there was like a national day of action and protest for students to surrounding like changing gun laws. And, you know, his school, Keeling Middle School, they had spokespersons from different representatives coming into the campus and different organizations. And the kids, like, you know, had town hall meetings and directly got to ask these people questions about, you know, why is this and why isn't this and can we change this and stuff. So that was a positive thing, you know. So I guess my answer is I don't know
maybe
how to change things.
Maybe as generations go on, you know, we'll
I hope
get
it doesn't
hipper.
Take that long though.
Man, I don't
know
what it's gonna take.
I feel like it's gonna take Well, the reason why I am a part of the Moms Demand Action and the way one of the reasons why I support them is we talk about it as a Mothers Against Drunk Driving. The way that they changed, that was over, I think it was like 20 years that they, yep. And I guess they're still, you know, continuing that work. But there was a change that happened.
Yep.
I'm hitting the mic. There was a change that happened in terms of educating people and just changing the culture about, you know, drunk driving and that sort of stuff. So I think that's what they're modeling things after,
yeah.
is looking for that sort of change. But not saying, well, in future, hopefully it'll get better in the future. It's like, well, okay, it's going to get better because we're going to make incremental changes and we're going to do it person by person. And just, I don't know, I feel like people have to talk to each other more. You know?
Like shifting sand.
Yeah. 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 You know, slowly. I don't want it to change, you know, slowly. That slowly. But
I understand. Hey, is my friend Amy Edwards in that?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Amy. Actually. Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. she's way more active, I think, than I am in the group, or she's been involved with it longer than I have been.
Yeah.
But I think there's just a lot of people that are fed up, and I think that particular group is trying to take that feeling of helplessness and turn it into like, no, we can get out and we can make change. So
yeah,
so I was really happy to be able to contribute a little something to that. Yeah,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
The release for this show is going to be at the Townsend, yes. Saturday, February 9th.
February 9th.
The day after the album comes out.
Uh-huh.
So you can get the album the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And then learn all the words.
Yes.
And sing along at the show.
Yeah, I didn't mention it's going to be a sing-along format. No. I'm not going to pass out lyric sheets, so you have to do your homework.
Do you have any opening acts? Or
the Sanko Loop are playing with me.
Sanko Loop.
Do you know these guys?
I don't know these guys.
You should, like, as soon as I leave, you should listen to all their music.
Okay. I have to go walk my dog.
Well, okay.
I mean, maybe I can do it during the same time. I have a phone.
I really like, they're probably one of my favorite bands right now in Austin. I'm friends with Christian Glaucus, who's their guitar player, or like their lead guitar player. Peter Wagner is the lead singer, and they're fantastic, and everyone should listen to them.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Sanko Loop. So they're playing before you?
Mm-hmm, they're playing for me.
Then Anna Larson, you're playing the big band at the Townsend.
I'm bringing everybody that I can fit on that
strings,
stage. And then
horns.
Some. Mm-hmm. Strings, horns. John Michael Rogers, who is also, John Michael's in the Wheelwrights.
Okay.
And he played the song we were just talking about, Acting Alone. He played guitar on that.
Okay.
On the record, and he's going to come play guitar. Okay. He's going to be there. I don't know. Whoever else gets on the stage, I guess they'll get to play too.
That's so, just so you guys know, it's not a sing-along, but Anna is encouraging anyone to jump up on the stage at any point during
with a kazoo,
the show and express themselves. If you feel
there's
if
no
the
security.
Spirit, if the spirit fills you.
Well, I did grow up in a Pentecostal church, so you know, we're just gonna go with the flow.
There you go. Go with the flow. AnnaLarsonMusic.com is where you can find you. And also Opening Bell in Dallas, a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
Who's playing with you there? Do you know?
I don't know. Hmm. We are playing at 8:00. I don't think there's anyone playing ahead of us that night. So
that's a long, but last time I played there, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's what it is. Like, we mm-hmm. got to fill this time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I tried to bring three guys. I don't like to play that long when I'm doing that.
Well, I don't know. We're playing at least an hour, maybe an hour and a half, something like that. Yeah. So I'm playing there, and then I have a house concert. I'm doing a house concert. Also in Dallas.
Oh, cool.
That weekend. So yeah, I've got other things. Just go to that.
I saw you got other shows. We could sit here all day just naming dates, but no one would remember it while they're listening to it.
No.
Just remember the record comes out. It's called Shifting Sand. It drops on February 8th.
Mm-hmm.
The release show is Saturday, February 9th at the Townsend in Austin. Opening Bell in Dallas, February 15th. The singles Acting Alone and Where Were You? mm-hmm. available now. Mm-hmm. Where you stream and download your jams,
people? Spotify.
Spotify? Oh, no, I was telling the people where you stream and download your jams. You Spotify? I Spotify too.
Yeah, Spotify.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
You know, the show's on Spotify.
Oh.
Podcast.
Oh.
Will be on Spotify as well. Cool. I wish there was ways we could link all of the things to where it popped up. If you want to hear Anna talk to a guy in his apartment with a piano.
Yeah.
With the Korean piano. well, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for letting me talk.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Gang, that's Anna Larson. Her solo album, Shifting Sand, drops February 8th, but you can hear the singles Acting Alone and the one that you're just hearing right there, Where Were You? Available now, wherever you stream and download your music. Her her album release show is Saturday, February 9th at the Townsend, and she's doing one at Opening Bell in Dallas, February 15th. Go to Anna Larson Music for all of your Anna Larson music needs, all right? I want to thank her for coming by. Great talking to her. Great talking to Anna. Hey, gang, while you're out there checking out AnnaLarsonMusic.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast and wherever you find your podcasts, even Spotify. Spotify, millions of songs, thousands of podcasts available now. How did I get here? You can go there and listen to it, and then you can skip over and listen to Anna's music when you want, you know, or someone else's music when you're listening to the podcast. Anywhere you find your podcast, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places. Go there, subscribe. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Hey, I want to thank Anna for coming by. Great talking to her. I want to thank you for listening. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. And let's hear some more music from Anna Larson. This is Where Were You, her single, out now. Listen. Let's get down.